Last Sunday, we had two baptisms, one of the most joyful rituals of our Christian faith. Baptism is the way that by water and the Spirit, a person is united with Christ forever and made a member of the church. You remember I asked the question, what are people signing up for when they're baptized? It's more than a one-day event, isn't it? It's a lifelong journey. As the Book of Common Prayer states, we give thanks for the water of baptism, in which a person is buried with Christ in his death, and by it shares in his resurrection, and through it is reborn by the Holy Spirit. Death, resurrection, rebirth. What do we mean by all that? Sounds serious, doesn't it? Maybe about now you're wishing you'd actually gone out of town for the Labor Day weekend. Rather than dealing with such serious issues on this morning in the last day of August. But not to worry. You know, I always come around to the grace. If God were not so serious about our salvation, where would we be? Where would we find our hope? Serious about salvation, that's God. About our salvation today and forever. Serious about new life, this new life of grace, sharing in the risen life of Christ, now and forever. This is the Christian journey. And it is within the context of our baptism that today's gospel is best understood. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life?" Long before I became a Christian at the age of 24, I had heard that phrase, to take up one's cross, right? People know it. Even though I knew very little bit about Christianity, I knew those words, and I'm pretty sure that I was not too interested in them. For these words in isolation or out of context of our entire Christian journey, they just sound burdensome, don't they? They just sound kind of depressing and medieval, and what is all that? They sound like this cross is the thing that everyone has to bear in life, that hard thing which is yours or mine to carry on our shoulders, being weighed down by it, struggling to move forward. This is what I thought. And not that it's all wrong, but it's limited. In fact, even those who are well educated in the Christian faith, from a certain perspective, some people even use these words to justify putting a burden on someone. Or a person might resign him or herself to an unfair or unjust situation because it is his or her cross to bear. Right? You can see, you know how this has been used, not in a life-giving way, but in a way to keep people down. The cross as an object, a situation, a thing to be taken on. But is that really the best way to think about it? And how do we apply these words about the cross from our gospel reading to our life today? Is it an object? I think it's more of a process, this cross and picking it up. Because when it is an object, the whole matter of the cross is so burdensome that many in our culture, knowing it that way, they just want to avoid the discussion as much as possible. Skipping right over Good Friday, this is true for even us in the church, right? Skipping over Good Friday, go right to Easter. People have said to me, "What's the point? It's just depressing." These are Christians in church saying to me as they're leaving for the day. People have also said to me, Jesus took care of it all on Good Friday so we can live in Easter. You know, we don't need to deal with all that messy cross business. And I too, you know, I like to focus on Easter, and I say we are people of resurrection. That's absolutely true. But it doesn't mean we can avoid the cross in our life. Our culture is not good at dealing with crosses because we want to focus on the positive as a rule, and we just don't know what to do with crosses in our society. If it doesn't look successful, if it's not happening now, if we're not achieving what we want. John Philip Newell tells a story illustrative of the trouble people have with the cross or a cross. Newell writes in his book, Christ of the Celts, The Healing of Creation, "Not long ago, I met a woman who had inherited some jewelry from her mother. Among the pieces was a cross, and she did not know what to do with it. The teachings she had received about the cross of Christ either bewildered her or did not relate to her deepest experiences of life and relationships. But at the same time, she did not want to throw it away or lose it. In fact, a part of her saw it as so precious that she ended up placing it under the floorboards of her house for safekeeping. The cross did not relate to her deepest experiences of life and relationships, so she put it under the floorboards for safekeeping. There's something about it. She didn't want to get rid of it, but she had no idea how to deal with it, how to integrate it into her life. Where does it fit? So how can we, as Christians, help people in our lives and help ourselves to understand how the cross does relate to life and relationships? How can we understand the cross for ourselves so that it can be ultimately a life-giving experience rather than an unending burden on our shoulders? We who are confused about the cross are in good company. Peter, the apostle, who had just been praised by Jesus as the rock on whom the faith would be built, is now called Satan and a stumbling block and told to get out of the way. Jesus is basically saying to Peter, you have no idea what God is about to do. How could he really? Don't you feel a little sorry for him? I mean, it never happened before. It didn't fit with his vision of life, what he understood about life. And the same could be said about our lives. It's very hard to believe something we've never seen. It's very hard to believe that taking up something difficult or letting go of something that's held us back will lead to a fuller, more grace-filled life. It can be very hard to understand that. How does the cross relate to our lives and our relationships? Well, this cross that can be so heavy and feel overwhelming at times, it's not simply a thing, a burden, but to take up one's cross is to enter into a process that involves both death and resurrection. Because this is the cross that Jesus is inviting us to take up and follow him, follow in his way. Yes, death, but new life ultimately. We all have things in life to work on or deal with at some time or another, at some point or another. And if we don't take up that cross, we might just trip on it, trip right over it. It's right there. So the cross can mean dealing with difficult matters in our lives, or the cross might be something in the world. Thinking about the children of the village of Mzula in Tanzania, the cross in our path as this church and for you personally might be poverty in the world. The unfair structures that keep so many people held back when others have seemingly every advantage. We bless those pencils for those children today. You'll also find an excellent article in our new newsletter that's out about the Carpenter Kids program and how we can all support those children in the village of Mzula I'm curious, how many people, if you don't mind saying, how many people are currently supporting a child in the village? Raise your hand. Wonderful. I'd love to ask that question again in a month and see some more hands. And the way to do that is to talk to Stephanie Roberts-Turner, who's over there, or you saw Andy and Claire come up. Wave your hands, Andy and Claire. You could talk to them. And for what's really generally a small amount for many of us, we can change a life. It might be, it's like that burning bush, right? Moses' burning bush. It's burning right in front of us. We're really not sure we can handle it. Moses, he's not so sure, but he's being invited, as we're invited, to look at what's real. So if the cross image doesn't work for you, maybe it's the burning bush. That's okay too. So it can be out in the world, or it can be in our very own lives. Let's see, I went a little bit off track here. So I decided to add that in earlier. I mentioned a few weeks ago that my childhood was not the best. I mentioned there was divorce, alcoholism, chaos all around me. In my life, that's been something of a cross. And for the longest time, I thought if I could just be more successful, work harder, achieve, I could just kind of walk right by that and it wouldn't be a problem. But I realized at a point it kind of had a tether on me, and I was also tripping over it all the time. So I realized I kind of had to take it up and work with it. And there might be something in your life like that. It's not easy, it's not hard, but as we move through those experiences that can be so painful and feel like death, it opens up into an open space as we work through it. So our cross might be very personal, or it could be a call to deal with one of the many crosses of the world. Whatever it is, God calls us to take it up, to help others, to help ourselves, in a sense, denying ourselves the false self, but living into the full self God has called us to be, to move through death to resurrection. We do this, we take up our cross, we're willing to lose the life that we've known, the life that wasn't the fullest life that God desired for us. And the only way into that new experience that's hard to imagine because we've never really had it before is through the cross. But we remember, we always remember that Christ is with us, has already led the way, so that when we take up our cross and follow Christ, the cross and the process of engaging the cross is always about, yes, death, but always new life. For what does it profit us if we gain the whole world, but don't live the life for which we have been created? And that's the same with the issues in the world. What does it profit us if we in this country have the whole world at our disposal, but don't live that international life, the life of humanity spread across the globe in brotherhood and sisterhood for which we've been created? We need to take it up. We need to. The grace is there, a fuller life of grace. And we do this within the context of baptism, knowing that we are already united with Christ in this way of the cross, so much so that it caused St. Paul to say, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." We're called to take up our cross and follow Jesus, the Christ. To follow is to follow in the way of being vulnerable, as he was and is to us, vulnerable, open, willing to die to the life we've known on the road to the new life of grace. Amen.